Hello, thanks for joining me. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.
The 41st World Communications Day falls this Sunday, and the theme this year focuses around children and the media. Children who, as we know, today belong to the media culture, and for whom Pope Benedict himself offers a special message. The exact title of the theme this year is Children and the Media, a Challenge for Education. And the Pope's message is that media education requires formation in the exercise of freedom. So often, he said, freedom is presented as the relentless search for pleasure or new experiences. Yet this is condemnation, not liberation. For the occasion, I thought I'd take advantage of the morning sun and traipse up to Vatican City. Past the Arco delle Campane and go just behind St. Peter's Basilica, where the office of the Pontifical Council for Social Communication lies, and speak to the president there about this year's message. He's Archbishop John Foley. I began asking him about how communications had developed since the Second Vatican Council. And rather unexpectedly, the Archbishop painted in a very personal touch about his teenage beginnings in this field.
Well, I would presume it's a step forward to promote Catholic communications activity all over the world, but of course I was even too young to know about such an institution if it had existed. I was only 13 when I got involved in radio, and by writing radio plays on the lives of the saints because of a book that had been given to me by my parents, You Can Change the World, by the founder of the Christopher Movement. And he advocated choices of careers in politics and education and communications to make a positive impact in society. And I thought that sounded very good. And I thought that communication sounded good. And I started writing radio plays on the lives of the saints because I thought that people needed good role models. And because of very kind people, those plays were ultimately produced on radio when I was 14 years old. And I became an announcer on the station on Sunday mornings for Catholic programming. So I was very fortunate at an early age to be involved in communications.
You talk about saints. Did that include St. Francis of Sales?
No, at the moment, at that time, it did not. I'm sorry about that. I read his wonderful book on Introduction to a Devout Life several years later. I was very interested in social justice, and so I began doing radio plays on the lives of the saints who had made a difference, especially in interracial relations. I wrote about St. Peter Claver, St. Martin de Porres, and saints who had had an impact in the field of social justice and racial relations.
Well, you probably guessed why I asked that question about St. Francis of Sales. As most people know, he's the patron saint of journalists, something which would explain why Pope Benedict's message for World Communications Day is released to coincide with this saint's feast day, that's the 24th of January. But as I discovered, it's not just this saint that's involved.
Three special days for World Communications Day. The first is the Feast of St. Gabriel in September, when we release the theme for World Communications Day. St. Gabriel, the Archangel Gabriel, is the patron of radio, as you well know, as a member of the staff of Vatican Radio. And he's the patron of radio because he was the instrument for announcing to Mary that she would be the Mother of God. The message is prepared by the Holy Father and released on the feast of Francis de Sales, who is the patron of Catholic journalists, of all journalists, really. And we do that, we have the announcement of the theme early and the publication of the theme early so that people can prepare materials for the actual celebration of World Communications Day, which is the Sunday before Pentecost.
Recently, you've been to South Africa to attend a conference in which you discussed the theme of this year, which is about children and the media, a challenge for education. Was that a preparation for World Communications Day?
Well, actually, the meeting in South Africa was the fifth World Summit on Children and the Media. We hadn't known about the other World Summits, but I thought that this year, when I heard about this, that with the Holy Father's theme for World Communications Day, that this was ideal. So they were eager to have us come, that is the Holy See, to come, and I was given a preferred spot to speak at the opening dinner right after the Minister of the Presidency of South Africa, and they were very happy to hear about the Holy Father's message for World Communications Day, at which we quoted liberally. I spoke only for 5 minutes. I figure the best way to win over an audience is to be brief. And they seemed to be very grateful for what the Holy Father had said, and they were very grateful that I was brief in presenting it. The theme for World Communications Day, Children and the Media, a Challenge for Education, is important. We have courses in literature for children. Why don't we have courses in media for children to help them to appreciate the better things in radio and television and cinema, in periodicals, and also to help them to be discerning consumers of the media and not to be couch potatoes? Often parents will use television as an electronic babysitter, and that is not good, because the children sit in front of the television set absorbing all sorts of messages, some of which may be good, but many of which may be wrong, may be bad for them. And also, in our commercial society, in many countries, including my own, the United States, there are so many advertisements that children get into a stage of give me this, give me that, and that's very unfortunate.
Among those attending the South African summit, Archbishop Foley mentions, was Father Chris Townsend, Information Officer for the Southern African Catholic Bishops' Conference, a gathering during which Father Chris ran a workshop on children, media and religion. My colleague Susie Hodges asked him about the main message that emerged from the summit, which is held every 3 years. Let's listen.
What emerged from the summit was that parents and particularly media producers do need to be a lot more aware of the media culture that children already exist in. That awareness means that we need to be a lot more careful with where programs are being produced and the intent of those programs, because so often programs are produced not by children for children, but by adults for children. And sometimes the intent is a very important thing to be aware of. I think another outcome of the summit was the necessity of finding places and times to listen to how children are responding in this media environment that they live in, whether it be through their access to blogging, to podcasting, or to the more traditional forms of media, that parents and media producers and those concerned with media do try their best to understand the very dynamic nature of the culture that our children are working in.
Just how influenced are kids by what they see or read in the media? They're much more influenced, aren't they, than adults?
I think what we are discovering is that the media culture is becoming a new culture in itself. It's something that the Holy Father has remarked on, Archbishop Foley has remarked on, and I think we're beginning to see this perception becoming a very broad thing. Our children are almost speaking in the same way. They're speaking this with the same accent. They are understanding each other through this common media environment that they're in. And we cannot underestimate the media becoming its own culture. In a sense, values, eternal values like truth in media culture can very easily become that which shouts the loudest and gets the most exposure, not necessarily that which is truthful. And that needs to have something of a focus on, because it is so dangerous for us to lose the real human contact of family, of community, to a different type of family, if one wants to call it that. a different type of community, which is one sort of mediated and mitigated through, well, through a lot of filters and the media of how things are done. So it's something that we need to keep a fairly sharp eye on as parents, as church, as communities, that very often our own children are becoming part of a media culture that might in the end exclude us rather than excluding themselves from our culture. Podcasting, all of these things are how they interact with each other, whether it be these chat services like Mixit. Very often these kids are losing social skills because of their constant interaction with media. So there are a number of major concerns.
In his message for the Church's World Communications Day this year, the Pope chose the theme of children and the media, and in it he condemned any attempt to produce animated films and video games which exalt violence and portray antisocial behaviour or the trivialisation of human sexuality. But what percentage of such films or games directed at children do display such characteristics?
I quite honestly can't answer you as to what percentages are there. I think it's quite a culturally specific thing in the sense that what would be regarded as violence in certain cultures might not be regarded as violent at all in others. So we need to be very careful as to what we are actually talking about. Archbishop Foley, in his address to the opening evening of the summit, put it very clearly when he said that these games and media that portray violence, sexual violence, portray pornography and all of these sort of things as entertainment need to always be mitigated and strongly challenged, because for some it is entertainment, for many others it's the reality of their lives. And we need to be aware that, you know, the glorification of violence, for instance, violence involving children, it cannot be allowed and it needs to be constantly challenged. The glorification of war, we see it even on our own African continent, the problem of child soldiers. This is not a glorious entertainment that they have. This is a lifestyle that maims and destroys and kills people. And any game that pretend that you don't get hurt, it's not reality. And we need to be constantly aware of the dangers of portraying a reality in entertainment that is not real. You know, you can't pretend to shoot somebody in real life. There are consequences, and very often the consequence of action is what is missing in so much of the entertainment. You can watch a TV show that glorifies violence or glorifies sexual abuse of just between adults, for instance, but there's never any detail of the consequence, the lives that get damaged and shattered.
When it comes to TV, there's been a concern for a long time about the violent content of many programs. In fact, a recent survey in the US estimated that by the time a child is 18, he or she will have seen 40,000 murders on TV based on average viewing figures. What does this say about the type of TV programming to be found in many countries?
I think there's always a call to some sort of social responsibility being a self-imposed thing on the part of producers and broadcasters. And there's a social responsibility on the part of the church as family and the family as family to say these things are not acceptable. At some point, we've got to say that the culture that is portrayed on television, whether it be the soap opera culture, or whether it be the violence culture, the drug cultures that are glorified in any of the action movies, the martial arts movies, those sort of things, that sort of culture ultimately has to be tested against our value as human beings. At some point, I would imagine that one gets desensitized to violence against others by being overexposed, as it were. It has to be something that we stand up against. They ask that eternal question, where is the value that we are portraying? Where is the value that we see, the innate value of the human person? And if that value is what is being communicated in the media that we use? And that is the great challenge.
And when it comes to the role of parents in all this, I mean, how can they help their kids to develop more awareness of what is good and bad in the media, to be more discriminating, in a word?
Parents ultimately should not abdicate responsibility for their children. We wouldn't let a child go and play with a stranger. first find out about that stranger, we would at least find out their name, where they come from, and whether that person was safe to be entrusted with the great gift of our kids. The same holds true for media. Don't leave your children in the hands of strangers. You have a moral obligation, I would call it, to find out exactly who they're leaving their children with. In whose hands are these people teaching your children the values that you want in your home and the values that you want them to teach in their own homes as parents?
You've just been listening to the information officer for the South African Catholic Bishops' Conference, Father Chris Townsend, speaking there to Susie Hodges. And before that, to the president of the Pontifical Council for Social Communications, Archbishop John Foley. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.